The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 is the focal point for today's message. And I will read simply that one verse, though you know the rest of the story. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm sure most of you know what gold is. You've at least seen it. But I brought with me today some frankincense and myrrh. I don't know if you've ever seen those. I'll explain more about them, but they're here in the bags on the Lord's Supper table. You're welcome to come up after the service and have a look. You can open the plastic bag if you like. There's not a lot of odor as it is, but if you put it on hot coals, it emits smoke that smells good. So you're welcome to come and have a look at frankincense and myrrh if you like. A Christian comedian once joked that this story would be quite different had these been women instead of men. Think about that for a moment. For example, he said, if these were women, they would have stopped and asked directions immediately, so they wouldn't have been late for the birth of Jesus. Right? Had these been women, once in Bethlehem, they would have helped deliver the baby. Had these been women, they would have cleaned up the stable. Had these been women, they would have made a nice casserole for the new family, right? Had these been women, they would have bought baby Jesus some neat outfits to wear on his way back home. But these were not women, these were men. And we know that from the text itself. That word magi, translated wise men in some cases, is masculine. It means wise men. Or it means magi men. I won't go into what a magoi was or a magi. But at any rate, it was a tribe that served the Persians as a priestly tribe. They were men. And those pronouns that are in there are also masculine. So we know that they were men. That's really about all we know about them. You know the song, the Christmas carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Well, everything is wrong in that title except the fact that they came from the Orient, which is the East. We don't know that there were three of them. The text doesn't say there were three. It simply says some men from the East came to visit, right? Some magi came to visit. We don't know that there were three. I think we probably get that as a part of the legend because there are three gifts that are named, three kinds of gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We don't know that they were kings. The text doesn't say they were kings. It simply says they were among that tribe that served the Persian Empire as astrologers, more or less, foretellers of the future. The only thing it gets right is they were from the East. We three kings, no, of Orient are. We got the Orient right. They came from the East. And we know that they brought three kinds of gifts because they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. It doesn't mean there are only three of them. That's the kinds of gifts that they brought to him. There could have been, by one count was, 22 of them. Some early Christian scholars said there were 22 of them that showed up. I don't remember how they arrived at that number, but it just can't possibly be based on fact. It's just based on fiction of some kind or another. And we know also that they were not there the night Jesus was born. They showed up weeks, perhaps months, or maybe even years after Jesus was born. Now, how do we know that? Because when they arrived, they found Jesus not in a manger, in a stable, but in a house. Did you see that in the text? Joseph would not have left his little family in that stable with only a manger for Jesus, to hold Jesus. He would have gotten them out of that into a decent house as soon as he possibly could. When, I'm going to call them the wise men. When the wise men arrived, they found Jesus in a house with Mary, his mother. Not only that, but the word that is used is not a word for a baby. It's a word for a young child. They found the child, and that's a different word, totally different word in the Greek text. So we know they were not there the night Jesus was born. They came sometime later. Did they begin to pack up when Jesus was born? Was that when the star first shone over the manger in Bethlehem? We don't know. We don't know how long it took them maybe to get prepared, to get things together, and then make that trek across the desert. But we know they were not there on the first night. They were not there the night Jesus was born. We have taken two stories and made them one. These are actually two stories. Shepherds came the night Jesus was born. The sages, the wise men, showed up sometime after that and found the young child in a house with Mary, his mother, presented him their gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Or as a 5-year-old said, gold and Frankenstein and Smurfs. Now, this, therefore, is not a Christmas message. This didn't happen at Christmas. It happened in the weeks and perhaps even the months and years after Christmas. And so I'm bringing it to you today as a New Year's sermon. This is after Christmas. When it took place, we don't know exactly, but it was sometime after Christmas. And these men brought to Jesus, the infant Lord, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And each of those gifts has a significance. They suggest a resolution that you should offer the Lord Jesus in this coming new year. For example, they brought gold. They brought gold. That's the first metal mentioned in the Bible. And all cultures and at all times have prized gold. It is a gift fit for a king. Why? Because it's rare. I read an estimate a couple of years ago that said that all the gold that had ever been mined, could it be gathered in one cube, would weigh 171,300 tons. All the gold that's ever been mined. It would be a cube 68 feet on a side. That's just about 7 stories high and about as wide as high. That's all the gold that has ever been discovered on this planet. Now, they're still finding some, but they're losing some as well. So, you know, we've run upon the rarity of gold. It is not plentiful. And that makes it a gift fit for a king because it is rare. Not only so, but it has a brilliant natural luster. It's shiny. It glitters. It's pretty. It's a gift fit for a king. And third, it resists most acids and does not corrode or tarnish. So because it's rare, because it's brilliant, because it's permanent, it has been linked to royalty from the earliest days. It is a gift fit for a king. And so in the Christmas carol, one of those three kings from Orient are sings this little song, "Born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign." In this new year, bring Jesus gold. Obey him as king. He is a king who is worthy of our worship and worthy of a gift of gold. Some years ago now, a reporter from the Mobile Press Register called me. As the dean of the School of Christian Studies, they often would call to see what my reaction to this or that was. And so this reporter was producing a column, and she called and said, "Dr. Taylor, what do you think most Christians do not understand about being a Christian?" I didn't have to think 3 seconds. I had a ready-made answer. I said, "Well, ma'am, I tell you, in my judgment, most Christians do not understand that they have a king to obey. Most Christians haven't thought past the end of their nose about Jesus being the king." Now, some of that's understandable because our forefathers came to this country to get away from kings. We don't have kings. We have presidents that we elect. We have a legislature that we elect, right? We have local officials that we elect. And we don't have a king. And there's a good reason for that. But it means also that growing up in a country without a king means we don't have a clue as to what it means to have one. We don't have a clue about what it means to live under a king who has absolute authority. So taste that little word, king. Taste it this morning. Think about what it means to have a king. Listen, in a kingdom, the king is the law. What the king says goes, whether you like it or not. In a kingdom, you do as you're told without quibbling or questioning or asking if a king might take a little less than he said he wanted. Right? In a kingdom, the king expects the subjects to do what he says without hesitating or resisting. And that means to obey him. Obey Jesus in this new year as one who deserves gold as a king. He is, in fact, the king, and you're in his kingdom. We're to obey him whether we like it or not. You may not want to do what the king tells you to do, but you're to do it nonetheless. Keep your marriage vows. Do good to those who do bad to you. Go on mission to the ends of the earth. You may say, well, that's not my cup of tea. That's somebody else going to have to do that. No. The king said do that. And he expects us to obey him whether we like it or not. We're to obey him whether we can afford it or not. Tell the truth even if you lose your job for doing it. Save sex for marriage, even if it means losing a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Tithe, even if it means doing without something you wanted or needed. Obey him. That's a good resolution for the new year, isn't it? To obey Jesus as king. Obey him, even if it means death. Some years ago, I happened upon a story about a turpentine worker who had taken his dog with him into the pine forests to collect turpentine from trees. They had bored them and were waiting for the turpentine to drip into the buckets. A fire broke out, and the worker's dog had burned to death in the fire because the worker had left him to protect his lunch pail, and the dog would not leave it. Through his tears, the old turpentine worker said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do, because I knew he'd do it." Can I ask you a question? Do you think Jesus ever worries about what he tells you to do because he's afraid you'll do it? Because he knows you'd do it? Hey, that's what it means to obey, right? That the Lord has to be cautious in telling us what to do because he knows we'll do it. On my ordination certificate is the name of Lester Carpenter. You probably never heard of Lester. He was born and raised in Wynn Parish, and as far as I know, he never went very far outside Wynn Parish. Lester Carpenter had no high school education. He'd been very sick as a boy, and as a result, he had lost some of his hearing, and he was legally blind as well. Lester Carpenter's name is on my ordination certificate, and I'm proud to have it there. Couldn't read or write, but Lester Carpenter said this. One hot summer day, he was out plowing in the corn patch, and he fell to his knees under conviction between the plow handles, and he said to God, "God, if you will take the thug out of my soul and give me the joy and happiness I see in others, whatever you have for me to do, I will never say no." Folks, that's what it means to obey Jesus, isn't it? That means never saying no to Jesus. Whatever it is Jesus says to you, you say yes to him. Yes, Lord, yes. You say yes to him, I'll never say no to you. So I call upon you today, and I offer you the opportunity to resolve here and now to obey Jesus more and better in the new year. Think about what it means to obey Jesus and then do that. Obey him as king. But there's a second gift here. We have also the gift of frankincense to consider because these men brought to the young child frankincense. What is frankincense? Well, you're welcome to come and look at it after the service. It's a gum resin. Now, most of us pronounce that rosin, right? Do you call it pine rosin or pine resin? Pine what?
Rosin.
Rosin. That's what I call it, too. But you hear most people say pine resin. You know, it's spelled R-E-S-I-N, resin. But folks in North Louisiana have consistently through the ages, I mean going back to King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, have called it rosin, pine rosin, right? You know what that is. That's that sap that oozes out of pine trees and hardens on the bark. Pine rosin. Well, there are some plants, trees that are native to Yemen and Somalia that ooze that same kind of stuff. They're not pine trees, so it's not pine rosin. It is, in fact, frankincense. It was used for perfume. They'd grind it up and put it in olive oil and dab a little behind the ears or on the collarbones or whatever, you know, put it wherever they wanted it. They also used it for medicine. They would mix it with olive oil or wine and use it for medicine. But it was mostly used for worship. There are at least three different uses. I won't go into those, but it was used in the worship of Almighty God. They sprinkled frankincense on the bread of the covenant, the bread and the holy of and the holy place. And they used it for other purposes in worship as well, mostly for worship. Because of its connection with worship, frankincense was a gift for a god. And so one of those wise men come out of Orient, sings in another verse of that Christmas carol, frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns a deity nigh. That is, incense recognizes that a god is near. It owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. Folks, can I tell you that Jesus is God in the flesh? Can I tell you that that's who he is? He is God the Son, who laid aside the brightness and splendor of heaven for the blackness and squalor of this earth, came and made his home among us, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death to save us from our sins. He is God in person, God in the flesh. Now, there'll be cults that will knock at your door to tell you that Jesus may be a mighty God, but he is not the mighty God. As a lie born in hell. Read your Bible and read your Bible to them to show them that that is not the truth expressed in God's Word. There'll be others who'll come your way and say that Jesus was only the Son of a God. He was a man who was the Son of a God who became a God. And you too can become a God like he. And so you will have Jehovah's Witnesses call at your door. You will have Mormons call at your door with a different gospel, not just another gospel, a different gospel, if you please. Don't believe them. Jesus is worthy of worship as God. And in fact, if you read in the gospels, the disciples of Jesus worshiped him as God. Mary, his own mother, worshiped him as God. And frankly said so, and he did not rebuke either his disciples or Mary. He is worthy of worship. Let me remind you that worship is God's highest priority. God's heart, God's desire is to see the nations of this world worship. Hey, that's what God's been up to these centuries since the coming of Jesus and since the going of Jesus. His heart, his desire is to see men worship him. The goal of the gospel is worship. Listen, in heaven today, there is no missions and evangelism so far as I can tell. Those have played out. But worship goes on forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen. Worship goes on and on and on. Can I ask you, if you have grown careless about this thing that God values so highly, have you grown careless about worship? Listen, Sunday school, the study of the Bible with others is worship. Have you grown careless about your attendance on Bible study? You just laid it aside as an option. It's not really needful. It is an option, but I don't think I need that. What about praise and prayer, giving and preaching? That's worship as well. We're gathered here today for worship. It includes music. It includes an offering. It includes the preaching. It includes worship through praise, you know. Have you grown careless about being an active part of worship? Some just go through the motions. When they sang with half a heart or an absent mind. Some have let their prayer life grow stale because they say the same words every time. Some just drop a dollar on God. They don't pay any attention to what God says is His, and they should give. Just drop a dollar on Him when the plate comes by. And I dare say there's some who go through a whole service without thinking of God for a whole minute. For a whole minute in that service. Some just go through the motions. Others are conspicuous for being absent and don't even go through the motions. We know they're not going through motions because they're not here to go through motions. And let's not stop there. I mean, this just has to do with gathering for worship. Have you read seriously Romans 12:1? Romans 12:1 says, therefore, present your bodies. That is, in view of what's just going on here in chapters 9, 10, and 11, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, you can't tell it from English, the English translation, but that word service is the word worship service. It has to do with worship. It is your reasonable worship. Present your bodies. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Present your body a living sacrifice because that is a reasonable act of worship. It's a logical act of worship. God made you a body and a soul. You got members to your body. Present your body and all of its members to Him. Not as a dead sacrifice, crawling upon an altar somewhere and taking your own life, but as a living sacrifice. That is reasonable worship. Reasonable worship. Folks, can I challenge you and charge you to resolve today to worship Jesus more and better in 2020 than ever before? Worship Jesus as God. Bring Him frankincense. Not in a literal sense, but as a worship sense. And then the third and last thing they brought Him was myrrh. And like frankincense, myrrh is a gum resin from a thorny shrub. Frankincense comes from a tree. Myrrh comes from a shrub native to Yemen and Somalia. It was rare. It was expensive. It was prized because of its strong scent. And they used it to deaden pain. In fact, some of the women offered wine mixed with myrrh to Jesus on the cross to deaden the pain. It was supposed to do that. I don't know if it really did, but that's what it was used for. That was one of its uses. But mostly it was used to prepare dead bodies for burial. They would wrap myrrh in the grave garments to cover the stench of rotting flesh. And so here was this spice. Here was this incense that was used to cover the odor of dead bodies rotting away. Because of its connection with death, myrrh was a gift fit for a sacrifice. And so the third of those three kings from Orient sings this, myrrh is mine. Its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. Speaks of Jesus' death as a sacrifice for sin. Can I tell you that there are three facts that everybody in the world knows? There are three things that nobody can't not know, if I could twist that one around. You can't not know this. Three things everybody knows. Number one, there is a God. No matter how expressive they may be in their argument, no matter how adamant they may be in arguing against the existence of a God, everybody knows there's a God. You can't not know that. You can't not know that. You may not want to agree to it, but you can't not know it. Fact number two, we have all offended that God. There is a God in heaven, and we have offended him. You can't not know that. And the third thing you can't not know is we don't know what to do about it. There's a God in heaven. We've offended him. We don't know what to do about it. Well, cultures through time have figured ways to try to deal with that. They understand that offending this God, which we call sin, offending this God is a capital crime. It deserves death. Blood must be shed. And so for many of them, it took the form of human sacrifice. Some even sacrificed their own children, trying to appease the God they had offended, trying to make it up to the God they had offended. Others captured prisoners of war from other tribes they warred with and put them to death in their temples and at their monuments, trying to get right with that God whom they had offended. Even the God of Israel commanded animal sacrifice. And in the book of Hebrews, the inspired writer plainly agrees that the blood of bulls and animals could never take away sin. It can't do it. It's sent on as a reminder that sin needed to be dealt with in some more satisfactory way, and that God intended to do it. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, it is said that God prepared for Jesus a body. He came among us, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death. He alone was the blameless, sinless, stainless Son of God, who could give his life for the sins of men. The perfect sacrifice. And he came to make the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. The sacrifice for my sin that meant no more sacrifices were needed. What he did was enough. It was sufficient for all men, for all times, everywhere. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I stake my whole eternity. The life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, I stake my whole eternity. Can I challenge you on this first Sunday of 2020 to trust Jesus as your sacrifice? Trust him as your sacrifice. Somewhere I read a story about two men who went to pray. One of them stood up front and bragged that he was a better man than most were. He started his prayer like this: Lord, I thank thee. Well, so far so good. But then he went horribly wrong, did he not? In the stories Jesus told, and it's his story, in the stories Jesus told it, this man said, I thank thee that I'm not like all these other people out here. You know, I fast twice a week. I pray three times a day. I give tithes of all that come into my hands. Aren't you glad I'm on your team? You should be proud to have me, because I am such a good man. And that ended his prayer. And he went down to his house, said Jesus. But near the back of the gathering room, there was a poor guy who could do nothing more than cry for mercy. He recognized that his soul was deep dyed in sin. He beat upon his chest, Jesus said, recognizing, I think, that it was his heart that was the problem. He beat upon his chest and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said it was that man who went down to his house right with God. The other one just went home. This one went home right with God. Why? Because he trusted what Jesus would do with his sins. So what are you today? Are you a good person who thinks God owes you for being good? Or are you a bad person whose only hope is to ask for mercy at the bleeding sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus? In my years at the University of Mobile, I developed friendships with a lot of cult leaders because I had them come to school and tell us what they believed, where they came from, and how they worship. And then I gave our students a chance to ask them questions. I kind of set them up with some questions to ask. But I became friends with some of them. And there is in Mobile today, unless she has died in the meantime, a friend of mine who says she's an atheist. One of my students asked her when she came to my class one day to explain Unitarian Universalism. We Christians put crosses on our yards. They put question marks on theirs. One of my students said to her, "What if when you die, you meet the God I worship?" And this was her reply. She said, "I don't believe in the God you worship. But if when I die, I meet that God, I believe he will treat me fairly." Now, that's not a bad thing to say, but realize what she meant by that. What she meant was, I'm as good and as decent and as moral a person as you are. And so if that counts for anything, if he lets you into heaven, he's got to let me into heaven too, if he's going to be fair. What she never quite got through her head, even though I tried to explain it to her, was she's not good enough, she's not decent enough, she's not moral enough to deserve to get into heaven. Folks, heaven is not a reward for being good. Mark this down. Don't ever forget it. Heaven is not a reward for being good. It's the inheritance of those who have become children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven belongs to the children. Heaven belongs to those who trusted Jesus and gotten in the family of God. It's not a reward for doing good or being good. So resolve today to trust the bleeding sacrifice. Resolve today to trust Jesus as the sacrifice for your sins. Don't go around patting yourself on the back and creating a headache by staring up to admire your own crown. You know, you're not that good. You can't ever be that good. God doesn't grade on the curve. He doesn't grade on the curve. Resolve to trust Jesus. So folks, today I give you Jesus. He is a king, he is a God, he is a sacrifice. What will you give him? Will you give him gold as a king? Will you give him frankincense as God? Will you give him myrrh as sacrifice? Bring him gold, bring him frankincense, bring him myrrh. I close with this warning. This is not a message for somebody who's not here. This is not a message for somebody who may be seated in the pew or two behind you or in front of you. Take it personally. Please take it personally. What will you do on this first Sunday of the new year to honor Jesus and resolve to obey him more and better, worship him more and better, and trust him more and better? Can we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you again for the challenge that comes our way through the actions of these men in the first century. Lord, they are long gone. They went back home, but on their way home, they were on the way to heaven because they worshiped Jesus. And I pray, Father, that we would take a clue from them on this day and offer Jesus fresh obedience, fresh worship, and fresh trust. Lord, there are people here today who may have never placed their trust, transferred their trust from things they do, transferred their trust from good decent moral things to the sacrifice, the sacrifice for sin. I pray this first Sunday of 2020 would be the right day for them to do that. There are other decisions that need to be made, some of them public. So God, help us to do what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.